Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Bring this back, Jefferson Starship. I always forget when that song was. Was that Starship or Airplane? I think that's Airplane. Anyway, welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for being with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance, and all the things you can do there. 5 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something you can do in any of those times or in between. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. And so wherever you want to find me online, you should be able to find something about us if you check it out. Dr. Robert McTeer is with us, folks. Bob McTeer is the former president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank and a member of the Federal Open Market Committee, which is meeting today. Right now, I want to get Bob to talk to us about some of the regulation, some of the legislation that's being proposed, financial regulatory structures that are being put up, Bob, right now that I'm really worried about. And I'd like for you to give us a little tour of what do you think's being proposed.
Well, way too much, probably.
Yeah.
We always have regulatory overreaction to every crisis. The thing that gets the public attention most is the Consumer Protection Bureau that will be in charge of seeing about credit card arrangements, mortgage arrangements, and all that. The House bill makes that a separate agency and takes a lot of that away from the bank regulators. The Dodd proposal that came out yesterday...
Now, that hasn't happened. This is a proposal so far.
It's just a proposal, and it's kind of odd. It will create an independent agency but put it within the Fed.
Yeah.
And that just turns the Fed into a landlord. Seems to me that doesn't make any sense.
So tell us how that would work.
Well, the agency would be sort of part of the Fed, but the head of that agency would be appointed by the president and apparently have no reporting relationship to the Federal Reserve people.
That is weird.
And the Fed would pay its bills. Now, you see, the Fed already pays a lot of bills. It's just not so direct.
Right.
The Fed turns over about 90% of its earnings to the Treasury.
The Fed actually is a moneymaker, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Last year, it made $52 billion.
Wow.
And it turned over $47 billion of it to the U.S. Treasury's general fund. So,
wow.
So the taxpayer benefits, but in this case, it would go directly to this Consumer Protection Agency first.
So this is a way of paying for more government, bigger government.
And it's kind of a scary way because, when you pay for it that way, there are no real constraints.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody watching all that closely. And of course, all this head of this agency would need to do is tell Congress the Fed's being too stingy with it.
Fed
would be wrecked over the coals. So that's the main thing.
This is more of the politicizing of the Fed, isn't it?
Well, I think so. And another provision that would further politicize the Fed is the president would appoint the president of the New York Fed.
Yeah, that's come up recently. What do you think about that?
I don't like it, of course.
And the reason is because the New York Fed has a lot of power.
The New York Fed is in the money center, and the biggest institutions are up there, and it's already the most important Federal Reserve Bank.
Right.
There's no escaping that.
That's probably a job second only to the chairman, isn't it? The president of the New York Fed?
Yeah, in a crisis, it might not even be second.
Yeah.
And when the Fed first started evolving, the power was at the New York Fed, and it wasn't really taken to Washington until the 1930s when the Roosevelt administration brought everything to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
There are also other provisions of this thing. The so-called Volcker Rule is in the Dodd bill, surprisingly, which limits proprietary trading by large financial institutions.
And a lot of people would have to say, what's wrong with that, Bob?
With proprietary trading is the idea...
Hold on a second. Proprietary trading, the problem is if it's a government-insured institution, like FDIC kind of thing, that institution shouldn't be partially propped up by the government if they're going to trade for their own account.
Yeah, the idea being that trading for their own account is risky.
Right.
They might lose money.
Right.
They don't want them to lose money if the depositors of banks are the one providing it, and the government has deposit insurance.
And if they lose money enough that it puts the security of the institution at risk, therefore the government would have to come in and insure the deposits.
There's a big flaw in all this, of course, and that is everybody thinks that if a bank goes under, it's the taxpayer that pays. It's the FDI insurance fund that pays,
right.
And the banks are the ones that put the money in that.
And they pay that fund.
And the bank and the FDIC's never cost the taxpayer anything.
Is that going to be true? That will you and I still be able to say that a year or two from now with all the failures that are happening and are on the way?
Well, what they're doing, FDIC is pretty much out of money, but it's borrowing money to be repaid from fees from bankers.
And aren't the bankers being made to pay more fees than they have been?
Yeah, they've raised the fees on bankers.
I've heard them complain about that.
Yeah, and of course it comes at a bad time. If you have low fees in good times and you raise the fees in bad times, you're in effect taxing the banks when they can least afford to be taxed. And then on top of that, this new legislation would create another fund, a $50 billion fund,
right,
to help pay for large institutions that might have to be resolved. Resolve's an interesting word.
Right.
Taken down is what it means. And so that's just a redundancy. Everybody's on the case of the large banks. The large banks have already repaid their TARP.
But that didn't stop them. The repaying is fine, Bob. But the large banks got us into this mess, largely.
If you define banks to mean investment banks, I'll agree with you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when we come back, I want to talk about that, because I want to talk about how this legislation, folks, is probably not going to work just the same way that Sarbanes-Oxley didn't work. And I've got an example for that right after these messages. Bob McTeer is our guest. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. What's good? Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bob McTeer is our guest. And Bob, it's bobmcteer.com, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And they can find your blog there?
Yeah, no dot. Just Bob McTeer.
bobmcteer.com. And Bob, you're going to be in Kansas City, this week, is it? To the Kaufman's.
Going up on Thursday and the forums on Friday.
Right. And who else is going to be there? This is a economic bloggers conference, right?
Yeah, they're calling it a forum, and they've put me on a panel, and the panel has to do with how this recession will affect the economy's future. I haven't figured that out yet. The participants will all be economic bloggers, and I was hoping that the topics would be on how to blog better. But I don't know.
This is my first one. This is going to be available. Go to the Kaufman Center, and I think you'll be able to find it there. I think it's going to be online, either live or maybe archived. I'm not sure.
Bob, I think both.
Yeah, good. And so I know you do a good job. I'm looking forward to watching that myself. Bob, as we went to the break, I was talking about my lack of appreciation for what Christopher Dodd's trying to do with these new regulations on the financial industry, because I go back to Sarbanes-Oxley. I warned people back in, I guess it was 03, 04, I forgot when it came into play. I warned people that Sarbanes-Oxley was not going to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, because the laws were on the books to stop those people, Enron, Tyco, et cetera, Adelphia. The laws were on the books to prevent people from doing that, and all those guys got prosecuted under those laws. So here comes the government and overlays this overreaction of Sarbanes-Oxley to allegedly prevent things from happening like happened at Enron, which was where they took assets liabilities, obligations, and moved them off balance sheet. Well, folks, here we come about five years later, Lehman Brothers does the same thing, didn't they, Bob? And what good did Sarbanes-Oxley do there?
Well, none. Let me tell you why.
Is that a good analogy, Bob? In terms of not expecting much out of except more mayhem from the Dodd proposals.
Well, let me just let me just say why we can never stop this sort of thing, and that is because of the relationship between risk and reward.
Right.
If you want safety, you can have it, but if you take all the risk out of the system, you've also taken the reward out.
Right.
And so everybody's going to be looking for ways to increase their returns, and inevitably that's going to involve more risk. And you might plug so many holes in the dam, but you can't find them all.
But what the politicians are doing, Bob, is their restrictions are harming the people who are not abusing the system.
Yeah, the politicians right now are beating up on the bankers because they think the public wants to see, you know, the Christians thrown to the lion,
right.
And they're accommodating them. And it's like choking the goose that lays the golden egg.
Right.
They need to back off because it's not good for the economy.
Well, I'm afraid they're going to, as much as I am aggravated, as you know, at the investment bankers for doing what they did to us, and there are a lot of other people complicit in this, but they were the driving force behind what the financial meltdown. As much as I'm aggravated at those guys, I do not want the government, because I don't want them to do what they're doing, Bob, because I know that they won't be able to do it effectively, and it will hurt. This will ultimately hurt small businesses because it's going to put more requirements on independent community banks where most of us get our money.
8,100 banks in the country, all but 4, 5, or 6, had nothing to do with causing this
right.
crisis.
And yet they're going to be
punished.
And yet they're going to be punished by these new regulations, aren't they?
Yep.
And that ultimately means that small business owners are going to be punished.
Yeah, let me qualify it. The small ones won't be punished as much as the big ones.
Right.
It's aimed at the big ones, but just the whole reputation of banks is being tarnished.
Right. But you know, Bob, that these laws don't stay static. They evolve.
Right.
And if over time it'll filter down farther and farther, and it'll restrict capital flow to small business. I'm convinced of that. And so I'm against it. That's the reason I'm against it. And, Bob, quickly, how do you see the – I got 30 seconds. How do you see the economy going over the next 6 to 8 months?
It's going to be pretty good. The GDP numbers are going to benefit from inventory rebuilding.
Yep.
So they're going to be they're going to look pretty good.
Pent-up demand.
I don't think there's any real inflation in the system that will pop out between now and then.
Right.
So
you're positive about the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today, and safe travels to Kansas City, and do good up there. I know you will.
Thanks, Jim.
BobMcTier.com, ladies and gentlemen. Check that out. It's outstanding. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.